And I must say thank you for the opportunity to fill this pulpit. I suppose we could call it a pulpit. And it's always a wonderful blessing to be able to address God's people. And quite often you find, I'm sure virtually every time, that when you address God's people, you are more blessed than what they are. So let us have a look then at what I've just termed simply rating the year 2018. But before we do that, let's just ask God's blessing. Heavenly Father, we now are before you and we want to consider your word once again. Thank you for everything that you have brought to our attention over such a long period through those who fill this pulpit. And dear God, we pray that now you would do something special for us in just giving us that which is necessary as we look over the year 2018 and to take with us, Lord, into 2019 something that you're going to give us tonight. So please, dear God, may it be positive. We look to you and we give you thanks in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now you had Stan read to you, thank you Stan, from Ecclesiastes chapter 1. I don't know what you thought, but I thought, wow, this is really, this is the pits, if I were to describe it. Can King Solomon see nothing good? He's just seeing the worst of everything. How can it be? But anyway, this is the reading. So that is, to me, very pessimistic. I don't know if you feel the same. It's pessimistic. And then I'd like to read to you something which I think will really boost us. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And I somehow feel that this is going to be a bit of a difference for us. Now let me just get my bearings here. Here we are, Ephesians chapter 1. And I'd like to read from verse 2. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. What a contrast. I would suggest to you that that is unbelievable optimism compared to the pessimism of that Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Now you'll see there, I've got a point of departure for us to consider tonight. It's what I think. Now we know from Philippians 4 verse 8 that God wants us to think on the good things. And I'd like to read those good things, because I think it is important. Let me just find Philippians 4 verse 8, because I think this is something that we need to focus on. And I'd like to read those words deliberately, because I'd like them to penetrate us. Quite often we read things and it sort of washes over. I don't know if you find that. You read something and then you, what did I just read? Let me just go back. Let me go back and check again, because this is, I think, what we need to do with Philippians 4 verse 8. So let's have a look at this. Finally, and it includes every single one of us, brothers and sisters. Finally, after all that Paul has written to the Philippians, here he comes. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, if that be written as it is there, it's almost to me like a command. I don't know what you think. So I would suggest that something like this, just included in a letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians, it's for us today. Is that what we focus on? That is a question we have to ask. Is that what we focus on? So as we go into considering the year, I trust that we are encouraged by God's word to be positive about it, not negative. It's easy to look at the negative. It's easy. The pessimistic view. And we can say, wow, look at this. This is getting us down. It's really rubbing us into the dust. I don't think that is what God wants. So let's just have a look at a few things concerning 2018. And I want to just again stress that it is the thinking process which is important. The thinking process. Because everything starts here. I don't know what you think. Everything starts here. If my mind is negative, and I focus on the negative things and not on God, and as we heard from Grant this morning, His presence with us, then I think we're going to go down. I would suggest to you that we're going to go down very rapidly. And we're going to reach levels down there that we certainly do not want to reach. So I would encourage all of us that as we go through the year now, and as we review it, that we keep a positive state of mind. Because that is what it is all about. The state of mind. And God wants to change our minds, as we know. He wants to do that. Romans 12, isn't it? He wants to change our minds. And He wants to make it a positive thing. He wants to transform our minds. And He wants to renew them. And this is what I trust He has done for us. So let's have a look now. Firstly, I'd like to give you an example of optimism. Now, if you look at optimism, it's a very encouraging word. And I'd like you to go to, well, Grant touched on it again this morning, didn't he? Those good things about Moses, or was it the negative things about Moses, but the good things about Caleb and Joshua, that the Lord was with them. And what did God say to them? So that they could now say it to the children of Israel when they came back after going into the promised land. The other 10, we know, they certainly didn't look at things positively. But what did Caleb say in Numbers 13, verse 30? This is what Caleb said. We should go. We can certainly do it. This was the positivity coming from Caleb. And then in chapter 14, verses 6 to 9, Joshua joined him. And the two of them now are trying to make things really a positive point that everyone should look at and not just look at the negative things, like the size of the people and the height of their walls and all that ridiculous stuff. Yes, they say this, the land is exceedingly good. The Lord will lead us. Do not rebel against the Lord. Do not be afraid. The Lord is with us. Now, if that be the case, why did they hesitate? Why? And yet they did. Does it ring a bit with us as well? that God has given us everything and is willing to want to continue to do so, and we sometimes just fail. We fail. We don't think we can do it. Wow, how can we? Look at all these obstacles. Let's just rather be positive about these things. And then, of course, in chapter 14, verse 24, God now responds. And God is speaking to them. And in verse 24, God said, Caleb follows me wholeheartedly. That's what he says about Caleb. And then when it comes to verse 30, God is, how can one say, he's in anguish. He's unhappy. And this is what he actually says. And this must have been a terrific blow. But this is what God said. Not one of you will enter the land except Caleb and Joshua. And you know what God said there. Everyone, 20 years and older, we're going to die. Over 40 years, that period of 40 years in the desert. And only Caleb and Joshua, and as we know, Moses went in. Well, Moses was told he can't go in because he disobeyed God. Yeah, so let us just bear that in mind. We don't want to be negative. Pessimism doesn't come into the question when we are God's children. It should be positivity, as we read in Philippians 4 verse 8. Thinking about these things. Because Satan comes along and he wants to get this mind of ours, and once he's got the mind with a big question mark, then he goes into the heart. And then he works there. And before we know where we are, we're not following God wholeheartedly, as Caleb did. Now I'd like to give you a wonderful positive thing about the modern day. Well, that's old. But now I'm sure you have in your minds the fact that Billy Graham passed away not so long ago. Now wouldn't he be an example for us? A positive example? Look at the countries he went into. He took the word of God wherever. I think it's a whole list of countries. I haven't checked exactly how many, but this is what he did. He must have been optimistic throughout his life. What a wonderful example for us. Let's see if we can emulate that. And let us not get into negativity, please. I would implore you. Don't get yourself into negativity. Because then, as I always say, I've got a saying and I'm sure we know this, you then become your own worst enemy. You become your own worst enemy when you allow Satan to take you into that instead of being there in the presence of God. It's a difference, unbelievable difference. Two sides of a coin. But let's now have a look as we go further. Did you have successes, satisfactions? In 2018. If you look back now, 364 days, is it? Tomorrow is the 365th. Did you have successes? Satisfactions? Wow, Lord, thank you so much. This is something positive in my life. Now, look, the human activity is an unbelievable number of things. And we can just go through a few, for instance. Could it be in many sort of different things there? And what about this? What about the academic field? Our young people, and older ones too sometimes. Successes? Thank God for it. Didn't we last Sunday just mention the fact that I think it's Peter and Dorothy's granddaughter in Australia? 97% aggregate? Wow. That's a success, isn't it? Hey, and I'm sure many of us do feel that. And satisfactions. And then what about our work? What about our work? Now, work can be rather mundane, eh? Oh, here we go, guys. Same old story, you know, day to day. But surely, there were blessings there. And then sport. Sport? I think Abigail was sitting there, wasn't it, the group that did all How many peaks? 3 peaks in one day. Wow, I couldn't believe it. You know, that's something. That's an achievement, a success that God enabled. Wonderful. And then, of course, other things like our family. Success is there. Maybe there was a rift. Maybe there was something that came right. And God blessed in a wonderful way. A success. A satisfaction. And what about our church family? Yeah. I think if we recall, we went through a reasonably tough year. But God has brought us through it. And we can give praise and thanks to Him. We all the better for it, I'm sure. Our unity is going to weld us together even more. That's what I would suggest to you. And this is why we look forward as a church council, and this is why we express our thanks to you. We look forward to a wonderful year. A wonderful year of blessing. And then, of course, we also think of our community and social concerns. I'm sure there were successes there. What about Happy Valley? Yes, Frank. Lovely. I believe they've got a wonderful new bathroom there for the ladies. So these are all positive things that God has given and blesses us with, and I'm sure we're thankful for it. Good health. Well, Bob, look, you 94 years of age coming up soon, isn't it? 94. The Lord has blessed. Hey, wow. Something to really be proud of. That God has brought him through all those years. So I think we need to focus on those things. So, no matter what it is, whatever, wherever, whenever, if we achieve something good, that's something positive, a success, a satisfaction. Now, here again, I'd like to just mention Ecclesiastes 2, verse 24. Now we know King Solomon was endowed with unbelievable wisdom. It says in God's word that never before and never since has anyone been blessed with the wisdom that God gave to King Solomon. And I think we tend to go along with that, the truth of God's word. And King Solomon, this is what he puts in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 24. He says this: we human beings can do nothing better than to sustain ourselves by obviously eating and drinking, and of course building up our energies and that, keep ourselves healthy, so that we can find satisfaction in what we do or expend our energy on. So that is wisdom. I don't know what you think, but to me that is tremendous wisdom. Always be sure that you keep yourself healthy as far as you can, and that you do that which God has put you in the position where you are to do, and to do it to His glory and honor. And that is where you find satisfaction. So I think this is something which we bear in mind as we go into 2019. And I don't know, I said originally that it was so pessimistic when we read Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Meaningless. Meaningless. That's not a nice sort of word to use, but it's there. And it's hopelessness. You can go on and describe it. And why? Would you agree with me that God used the wisdom of Solomon to write the book of Ecclesiastes so that he could get across to us that without God in our lives, everything is meaningless? We chase Him after wind. In other words, we're wasting our time. We're going up dead ends all the time. It's a ridiculous manner of life. And unfortunately, a lot are caught up in it. There are billions around the world that are caught up in it. The hopelessness and the meaninglessness of a life without God. And I think that comes across through to us very strongly from the book of Ecclesiastes. So I would suggest that we take note of that book and just see what we can get ourselves into without God in our lives. Now what about disappointments? Disappointments. Now here we come with the fact that, oh dear, you know, we feel that, oh, we didn't do so well. But it certainly wasn't something to be proud of. And oh dear, it took a lot of my time, but it was all wasted. So we sort of look at this from the book of Romans. And there we see that in discussing the law of God and sin, Paul brings to us the fact that in chapter 7, verse 19, he's led by the Holy Spirit here to declare the power of sin that causes him and all of us, we all included, we are all human, and it's got a sort of a bent in us towards sin that keeps knocking at our door. There it is all the time. Knocking at our door. And wow, you know, you want to do good, but you just keep doing sin. And Paul sort of, he sort of almost said, oh, what the miserable guy I am. Eh? And he says that he wants to do good. But every time this is there, the sin is there. So when it comes to disappointments, we've got to be careful. Because it may be sin that's knocking on our doors all the time, trying to pull us down. And the evil one is just full of glee when that happens. He's full of glee. But now, what about what he says next? What does he say next? In verse 24, after debating this whole thing, he comes to verse 24. And here he is, in a way, bemoaning the fact that, oh, this sinful state, you know, it's a constant struggle here. Constant struggle. But now, he says, the Lord Jesus rescues and delivers us from bodies that are subject to death. Because that is what our natural bodies are, subject to death. Death, which is the ultimate end result of our sinful natures. So we can dwell on that. But what did Paul say? Paul said, no, we mustn't dwell on that. We must dwell on the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has rescued us. And he's released us from this. We're not bound in it. So trust that we live like this. Although we have sinful bodies, and it's always there. Always. We want to live in the victory that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us. So, did we do that in 2018? And are we going to do that when we go into 2019? I mentioned again, Grant challenged us this morning. Are we going to go forward with the presence of God with us? His power? His promises? Or are we just going to give up? Now, I don't think, looking at you all here, that you're just going to give up. I don't think that for one minute. So maybe I'm preaching to the converted, as I say. But I think we need to just remind ourselves of these things. And of course, now comes that wonderful thing that we must mention. Christ has set us free from this. And we are free indeed. That is a wonderful thing, eh? John 8, verse 36, what did the Lord Jesus say there? If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And of course, in Galatians 5, verse 1a, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So we're free. Satan no longer has a hold on us. And I'm sure we know that. So during 2018, I trust this was our approach. You're trying to get me down here, Satan. You're trying to get me back into that. But Christ has given me the victory. And he has set me free. And on the basis of that, I want to go forward. And as we go into 2019, we trust that that is what is going to be part. part of us. But now, what about happiness? I see time is running, eh? Well, you don't realize how quickly time goes when you're up there. What about happiness? That which we felt, wow. Surely the Lord, I just feel it. The Lord is saying to me, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. And we know we pick that up from that parable that the Lord gave in Matthew 25. That servant had actually doubled what his master had given him. And the master, the Lord, says, well done, good and faithful servant. That's wonderful. I trust we had many of those things. Eh? I trust we had many. And then, I just want to mention this. In Ecclesiastes 3 verse 12. Now this is again King Solomon in his wisdom. And this is what he says. And he expresses this by saying he knows. Now this is a bit different to other conclusions he came to, or things he wanted to say. He says he knows. And of course what he says he knows is that man can have no better experience than to be happy and also to do good. Now surely those things which we considered gave us happiness were in line with us. They must have been. Otherwise I'm sure we wouldn't have been happy before the Lord. Can I make that suggestion to you? But now let's go to what 2018 meant to us. What did it mean to us? Was it a negative experience? Oh dear. You know, 2018 really got me down. It was from beginning to end. It just got me down. I trust that's not what we thought. We might have had our downs, because that is not something that God promises is only going to be ups. We're going to have downs. But did we stay positive? That's the thing. Was our state of mind positive? As God wants it to be. All those good things that we've got to think about. And in Ecclesiastes 1 verse 14, we come to this where King Solomon, as was read to us at the beginning of the chapter, now also, everything is meaningless. A chasing after the wind, and he went down into it there, just to show us, without God, that's what's going to happen. And I trust that we will want to go into 2019 with God, I'm sure. Now, if the Lord wants us to be positive, and we are asked to think about the positive things and to act positively instead of being negative, and we express positive things about 2018, is this something that is real for us? Is it real? Has this been our real experience? And I trust it has. And yeah, this is what God wants. He wants us to be positive. And in Colossians 3 verse 17, he says that if you're going to do things, let it be that everything that you do is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it's going to be positive. Now I'm sure this is what we have been doing during the year. That what we have done, we haven't done for ourselves, because then it's going to be negative. We have done it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what makes the difference on positivity. Now what's your conclusion then about this year? Oh, I'd like to forget this year. I'd like to put this year behind me. Oh dear, it wasn't so good. Or is it that, wow, I want to remember this year. This year is something good. I really went through all the positive things. And God, oh, I'm so thankful God blessed me in wonderful ways. Is this how we're looking at it? Or how is it? Now, it's good for us to take stock. I think God puts it in His Word that we should. many things that we need to take stock on. Now we take stock on 2018. Now in so doing, what is the overall conclusion that you come to about your year 2018? Is it that you've totally disheartened? Because it can be that. This exercise can be so disheartening and strongly negative that I take it you're not dwelling on it. Even if there were things that you were disappointed with, that you're not dwelling on it. That they're not continuing to get you down. Because what God wants is, as He tells us, and as Paul makes very clear to us, and this is what Paul says to us in Philippians 3, the second part of verse 13 and verse 14. He deliberately, now this was an act of deliberation, deliberately forgot about the past, doesn't matter what it was, bad or good, and strived or strained. Now this is a strong word. Strive. Strain. And then a little bit further on, pressing on. So he was at work. He was doing something. And what was he doing? He was wanting to express everything positively. And he wanted to win the heavenly prize of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure that's what we want to do too. We don't want to stagnate and we don't want to lose out when it comes to spiritual matters. And this is why Paul says, let us press on. Let us strive. Let us be there active all the time. And I trust that is what we're going to be doing in 2019. Now, I'd like to read this to you. This is something that came to me. Let us all seek to emulate Paul and thereby literally keep our chins from dragging on the ground. Because you know that is so easier. Oh, you know, you can get into that expression of face and expression of life where it's as we say your chin is dragging on the ground and you're not up smiling and expressing positivity and joy that God has given to us. That's what He's given us. Unbelievable, but true. So let's live in it, and I'm sure this is what we all want to do. Now, this leads us to our final conclusion. That the only really worthwhile issue in this life is to have a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that only comes through repentance and faith in Him. That's the only way we can get it. You don't need to, and I say, sort of like it. You don't need to go into the corner and stand in your head and do all sorts of funny things and say all sorts of funny things. You just need to come before God and repent and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I trust every single one of us sitting here tonight has done that. That has been part of our experience. And even if it only happened in 2018, which means that we are young in the faith, in the belief, it doesn't matter. We've done it, and that is so important. So, where does it all start? It starts when we trust that all things that we are and we have, all our sin, we bring before God. And we ask for His forgiveness. And we repent from them. That means a 180 degree turn, as I'm sure you know. So instead of going in that direction, we turn and we go in the direction that Christ would lead us into. And that's how it starts. And of course, this is something which is absolutely crucial. Please, I want to stress that. Nobody standing in this pulpit preaching can ever take the point of view that every single one in the congregation has done what God expects of him or her to be born again of the Holy Spirit of God. That you can never do. I don't know what you feel. But we need to always present the way of the gospel, no matter. So that is what I think is necessary for us just to close with now, as our time together comes to an end. Now, I'd like to say a couple of things. Do not for one moment think that church attendance or membership or generally doing good to everyone is sufficient for your salvation. You may think that, oh, is it necessary for him to go through this lot again? Is it? But I somehow feel compelled by God to say it. So that we once again just focus our minds on it. Our earnestness. Or, is it a question mark? You're the only one that can answer that. You're the only one that can answer that before God. No one else. Because it is your action that is required to save your soul. No one else can do it for you. You have to come to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, another thing that I think is necessary, and I would implore you to please see to it that you do so soonest, without excuse driven delay. Because from God's word of truth, your very life depends on it. I'm sure we all know that. So I'm going through stuff that you know. But I think, I just feel I need to repeat it. Now, there are many, many things that come into the whole question of salvation. And I think Paul, in the book of Romans, in chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, I think he puts it pretty nicely there for us as to another couple of practical things that we can do. So that first thing is, we must declare with our mouths, say it, get it over our lips, that Jesus is Lord. And we must mean it. It mustn't just be that we say the things, because that's easy. We must mean it. Jesus is Lord. And we must believe in our hearts. Not here. That's part of it up here, but not only here. Because this is the thing that unfortunately the devil uses to trick us with. He gets us to say it in the mind. Believe it here, but not believe it there. And this is what is so essential. I would implore you tonight, make sure that it is you believing it in here, that God raised Jesus from the dead. Hey? He raised him from the dead. And because of that, we are raised with him to newness of life. And of course, that is really expressed positively as we go through the waters of baptism. And then, of course, believing with all your heart, you are fully justified by God. Fully justified. It's as if we have never ever sinned. That's unbelievable, eh? Unbelievable. Look, it's something that our minds need to grasp. The Lord Jesus shed his blood that we could have sins forgiven. The slate is clean. And I trust we keep it clean. Because as we considered early on, these bodies are always at us. And Paul lamented, the good I want to do, I don't. But the bad, I don't want to do, I do. And that's some reality that we've got to live with. But in the strength and presence of God, Jesus has overcome. And we can overcome in his strength. So these are just things that I think we need to consider. And then, of course, look at the wonderful additional things that come to us, apart from salvation. Because salvation is a package. Wow, it's an unbelievable package. It's got a whole lot of things in it that we need to consider. God's word is full of it. We can't just describe it in one sort of way. It's tremendous. For instance, I just want to give three as we close. We have been recreated. And just think about that. recreated. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and we've been made alive. We've been recreated. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. And Doug this morning said to me, wow, 2 Corinthians 5, he was reading through it. Wonderful. Be new creations. The old is gone, new is come. Wow, what a thing. And then of course, secondly, we've been made spiritually alive. As we've mentioned already. And we go to Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 5, and what does it tell us? We were dead in transgressions and sins. Dead. And in Christ, God made us alive. Wow, wonderful. And then, of course, He has given us His Holy Spirit. What did the Lord Jesus Christ ask the Father for in John chapter 14? To give you another comforter, an advocate, to be with you, and to bring you into all the truth. Wow, wonderful. So, and closing now, if you look at the whole of 2018, as we go into 2019 on Tuesday, or tomorrow night, is it? Midnight? What's your conclusion? What's your conclusion about it? Have you thought about it? As we go into 2019, let us, I trust, conclude that God has been good. He has been faithful. He has been loving. He has given us everything that we need. And if we rely on Him and live in His presence, as we were told this morning, it's all there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for what You have given to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, please help us that through Your Holy Spirit, it might be impressed in our minds and our hearts. And that, Your Father, as a result of this, our love for You might be stronger. And that it might grow stronger and stronger as we go into 2019. Thank You, Father. We know we can rely on You completely. And we thank You for all that You blessed us with in 2018. And Your Father will look forward to all the blessings of 2019. Build us up, Lord. Encourage us, Lord. Make us truly, as we should be, children of the living God. Thank You, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.